Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer this morning. Gracious God, today we gather with grateful hearts, thanking you for your goodness, your presence, and your faithfulness through every generation. Lord, we thank you for the young people that will be standing before us today. We thank you for their lives, their families, their growth, and the work that you've already begun in them. And so today marks a holy moment, a moment of transition, responsibility, and invitation. Not because these young believers suddenly have everything figured out, but because they are stepping into ownership of their faith, no longer simply watching the life of the church, but becoming active participants in it. Lord, as we hear your word today, open our hearts to understand that faith is not merely ideas or emotions, but a living relationship with the living and true God. Remind us that Christianity is not just something we think about, it's something we live. We pray especially for these young believers today. Fill them with wisdom and courage. Root them deeply in truth. Keep them sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Protect them from confusion, distraction, and compromise. May they become men and women who love your word, walk in holiness, serve you with humility, and remain faithful all the days of their lives. And Lord, let this church be a faithful community around them, not merely spectators to their journey, but encouragers, examples, and a true spiritual family. We dedicate this time to you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning. So today is a special day here at Celebration Church, if you couldn't tell from the prayer. But tonight at 6 p.m., we're going to be having our annual Pentecost service. We're going to be emphasizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have an extended time of praise and worship. And I'm going to be teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, what it means, how they work in our lives, and pray for people to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've never been part of that, we encourage you to come tonight. But this morning, we are recognizing our young people who are celebrating their rite of passage when we will be welcoming young believers into the life of the church. So they'll no longer be going to children's church. They'll be part of our adult congregation. Scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 11. Paul writes this: when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish days. When we were meeting with these young people, I asked them, when do you think that happened? When Paul said, I was no longer a child, but when I became an adult. And we got a variety of answers. Some said 35. One said 82. Others said 20. The answer actually is about 12 years old. In Jewish culture, around the age of 12 or 13, something significant happens. They are now responsible before God for their own life, their own faith. For a boy, they call it a bar mitzvah. For a girl, it's a bat mitzvah. We call ours a rite of passage. It's a moment where we recognize they are no longer a child, but are now stepping in to adulthood. Now, this is a radical shift from our modern culture. In modern Western culture, we've created a category called adolescence. This is a concept that did not take hold in our country until about the 1940s or 1950s. It's still a relatively new concept. Originally, it described a short transition from childhood to adulthood. When I was growing up, it was considered from 13 to 18. By the time you became 18, you're a man. Time to man up, start to become responsible. But over time, they have stretched out longer and longer. I heard recently some psychologists saying they now believe adolescence ends at about 32. It has become a space where people are not expected to act like children, but not expected to act like adults either, which has been particularly damaging to the male culture. You give a young man permission not to grow up, he will not grow up. And any of you younger girls in your 20s and even 30s who are out there dating and keep running into immature, snot-nosed little boys who claim to be men, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I feel for you. That's unfair, but it is what it is. It reminds me, I met a mom who told me that she calls her 26-year-old son every morning to make sure he gets up in time to go to work. Sadly, some unexpected young lady will wind up marrying this young baby narcissist and will proceed to put her through hell. I met a 39-year-old at one of my conferences, and I said, how long have you been married? He said, I'm not married yet. So you here with your girlfriend? I don't have a girlfriend yet. I want one. I want to start a family. I said, how old are you? He said, 39. I said, dude, you're half dead. Now, I get it. Some people just can't find somebody to. And that's fine. There's a lot of people that find their love much later in life. But this culture is pushing this nonsense. Modern concept of a long adolescence with delayed marriage has become increasingly widespread globally, especially through Western influence. But it is not universally understood or valued in many cultures. Historically, most societies have a much shorter transition from childhood to adulthood. Once a person reaches physical maturity, they are generally expected to begin assuming adult responsibilities. Work, family duties, marriage, community participation. The modern Western idea of teenagers as a long, semi-dependent stage of life is a fairly recent thing. In many cultures of the world, they still place a strong emphasis on early adult responsibility, family identity, multi-generational living, and earlier marriage expectations than is common in our modern West. In some cultures, a 20-year-old is clearly viewed as an adult and is expected to contribute meaningfully to society. Whereas in parts of our modern West, people in their 20s and 30s can still be viewed as not fully settled yet. And this is affecting all parts of our culture. Just recently, in 2010, Congress passed a law that young people can now remain on their parents' health insurance until they're 26 because they're just children. Another ingrained concept of delayed maturity in the United States of America. But in Scripture, the categories are very clear. You're either a child or an adult. And it's been like that for the bulk of human history, not even close. 80 years, maybe 100 years of this new concept versus thousands of years of human history. Well, today we celebrate that our young people are entering into the adult life of the church. Let me be clear, we are not saying today that our young cohorts have everything figured out. They don't. Truth is, none of us do. But now we are seeing them step into ownership of their faith, not their parents' faith, not their youth pastor's faith, their faith. Now we've been preparing them and instructing them into the concepts that make Celebration Church who and what we are. You hear Pastor Becky refer to it virtually every Sunday that we're a convergent church. What does that mean? There's three main streams of Christianity today. There's evangelical, there's Pentecostal, sometimes called charismatic, and then there's sacramental, or sometimes called liturgical. These three, virtually every church today, gathering right now, is in one of those three streams. And they tend to stay in their lanes, and they don't cross over. A convergent church, which more and more churches are turning to today, as have we, decided to adopt all three streams. We are evangelical, Pentecostal, and sacramental, all of the above. And that's what we've been teaching them, explaining to them. And I can explain to you now, because some of you still don't quite grasp it. There's the evangelical stream. We are evangelicals. It means we are rooted in scripture and truth. For us, the Bible has the final say. If the Bible says to do something, we strive to do it. If the Bible says don't do something, we strive to avoid it. Now, we don't go as far as some and say, if it's not in the Bible, we don't do it. All right. For example, a lot of evangelical churches don't do Lent or Ash Wednesday or Holy Week because those things are not mentioned in the Bible. Well, true enough, though these same people celebrate Christmas and Easter, which is not mentioned to celebrate in the Bible. So they're a little, you know, selective on their stand. And if you take we don't do it in the if it's not in the Bible to an extreme, you become Amish. Right? That's why they do what they do. Why do they just have horses and plows? Because in the Bible you read about horses and plows. You don't read about Kubota tractors. Then there's the Pentecostal stream. These people emphasize being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, something that churches today don't emphasize enough, even in our church. And I'm going to be teaching on this tonight, about the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I hope that you'll come. And then finally, we instructed them into the sacramental stream. What's a sacrament? A sacrament is when God uses something physical to do something spiritual. That's pretty much it. Very simple. Something you can see, touch, receive. And through it, God does something that you cannot see. How is that? It's a mystery. That's the word sacrament actually means, mystery. The early church believers experienced what they called mysteries, which was the word sacraments, and today we still celebrate sacraments in the church. We simply say a sacrament is when God uses something physical to do something spiritual. There's a list of sacraments or sacramental things that we do here at Celebration Church. Baptism. God uses the water in baptism. Communion, which we'll be doing together. God uses the bread and the wine, the laying on of hands, touching people, anointing with oil, blessing with water, ashes on Ash Wednesday, lighting of candles as an act of remembrance, incense offered to God in prayer. We believe in the sacrament of marriage, and we practice last rites for those who are dying. So why do sacraments matter? Because Christianity is more than just what you believe or what you think or what you feel. God meets us in real, tangible ways. And we see this through all scripture. God doesn't just speak ideas. He uses things. He formed man out of the dust. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. He healed people through touch. Jesus healed a guy once by spitting on him. I promise, if you come forward for prayer, I will not spit on you. But he used all kinds of things. And mud. Most importantly, God himself became flesh. The incarnation itself is the most sacramental thing ever. Talk about God using a physical thing to do a spiritual work. Look at the life of Jesus. Now, early Christianity had to deal with a lot of different heresies, false teachings. You read about in the Bible, warning them against false teachings. The greatest false teaching the early church encountered, we don't even think about it much today, is a heresy called Gnosticism. Gnosticism basically says spiritual things are good, physical things are evil. You kind of see that at first glance, but when you start taking it out to the extreme, it becomes very problematic because God created the heavens and the earth. Well, how God could create things if they're evil? And then they came up with a theory that, well, that was the Old Testament God. We have a New Testament God. Apparently, there's two gods up there battling it out. And all kinds of crazy thoughts started coming into the church. It was a heresy. They didn't believe Jesus was born physically. He couldn't have possibly been born physically. He couldn't have possibly died physically on the cross because, you know, physical things are bad. You can see where it went. James or John writes about this. It's one of these verses you're reading. You're not sure what he's talking about. And John, the first John, fourth chapter, verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God, John says. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Read that, go. What are you talking about? That's what he was talking about. This was a big problem in the early church. Some of these teachers go, no, it wasn't in the flesh. It was all spiritual. They were very, very spiritual. So a simple way of saying sacraments is God uses things you can see and touch to do things you cannot see. Why is this important? Because as people, we need encounters with God, and sacraments help us do that. So we spoke to the young people also about the historical and traditional elements of Christianity. Why is this important? Because we're not inventing Christian worship. We're receiving it. The way Christians worship today didn't start last year or even 100 years ago. It goes back centuries to the early church, to the apostles, to the earliest believers. One of the biggest groups that reject any kind of historical connection because it's too close to Catholicism, and so there's kind of an overreaction. Can't imagine Christians overreacting, but is evangelicalism. Evangelicalism didn't even exist until the 1800s. The United States of America has been around longer than evangelical churches. Pentecostal churches didn't show up till about 100 years ago, early 1900s. There was a lot that happened before that. And we get it. Some of it became very ritualistic and just robotic, repeating things, and became very unspiritual. Doesn't mean they didn't have value. And a lot of these things that we recognize go back to the first three centuries of Christianity, long before there was any organized Roman Catholic Church or Eastern Orthodox Church, which came about 1,000 years after Christianity. So these things go way back. The earliest of Christians do these things. And that's why we do them, okay? It's why we observe Christmas, Easter, Lent, Holy Week, Good Friday, and on and on. And I talked to him about signs and symbols of Christianity. Every culture has signs that identify who they are. Nations have flags. Teams have logos. Cheese. Even clothing can have symbols. People wear symbols that represent identity. Some people put on permanent symbols called tattoos. Christianity has signs. Our biggest sign is the cross, right? The cross has been celebrated. Many people, I can tell in congregation, when they pray, they'll do the sign of the cross. They learned that at an early age. You say, that's Roman Catholic. No, it goes way beyond that. Many churches do this sort of thing. And if you trace it, it goes back to the earliest Christian record. It was recorded in a document in the second century, which means if they were recorded in the second century, it probably didn't happen just then. It probably happened 100 years earlier. And it talked about how Christians used this, the sign of a fish. You ever see somebody in their car goes by, it's got a little fish on it? It's a sign that they're Christians. Sign of the cross. Christians did this crossing thing from the first century, earliest of Christianity. These things have meanings. Stoles that we do. You know, pastors wear collars as a sign of their ordination. I always do it in the pulpit here, but our pastors do it. They're doing it today because I made them. They don't like it too much. That's okay. I'll die someday, and you can do what you want. The stole symbolizes blessings, administering sacraments, pastoral ministry. It represents that a minister is marked for service to God. But you know who else uses stoles? Education. When people graduate, what do they wear? A stole. All kinds of things throughout cultures use stoles. And today, these young people are going to be receiving their own stoles. We're going to be giving them one. They're being marked not by culture, but by the life of the church. So to the young people today, you're being invited into something special. You are now being welcomed into the adult worship life of the church. You guys can get ready to set all this up. Come out, wherever you are. What movie is that? Wizard of Oz, yeah. We got young people. They don't even know what Wizard of Oz is. All right. So to young people, we welcome you into the adult life of the church. Yes, you may still attend youth events. You'll go to youth camps. You'll build friendship with your peers. But spiritually speaking, you're no longer just being taught. You're now responsible to walk with God yourself. We view you now as an adult, a young adult, to be sure, but an adult nonetheless. All right, so we're going to have our youth already lined up. You guys can come up here. So faith is no longer something that you watch, it's something you live. From this day forward, you pursue God, you respond to his word, you walk in obedience to him. So you're not just the future of the church, you are now part of the church. Isn't that cool? So we recognize what God is doing in your lives, we affirm your growth, we acknowledge your responsibility, and we fully welcome you into the life of this congregation. All right, so let me get this out of the way so you can see what's going on.
Ready?
I need my oil.
Oh, your oil. Ben's got you.
Thank you. I didn't make him work one today. He's not up here. All right, let's start.
I'll need my microphone on.
You need her microphone on?
My microphone.
Becky's microphone.
Check. There it is. This is Riley Larson.
Having been instructed in the faith, we receive you now into this congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jacob Ayala.
Having been instructed in the faith, we receive you now into this adult congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Addison Wirtz.
Having been instructed in the faith, we now receive you into this adult congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Clara Mae Nellis.
Having received instruction in the life of the church, we now receive you into the church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Madeline Wellens.
Having received instruction, we now anoint you and receive you into this adult congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Charlotte Kuhn.
Having received instruction in the teachings of the church, we now receive you into this adult congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Eliana Johnson.
Having received instruction in the life of the church, we now receive you into this adult congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Eleanor Newthels.
Having received instruction into the church, we now receive you into this adult congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lucy Hermans.
Having received instruction into the church, we now receive you into this adult congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Levi Jokey.
Having received instruction, we now receive you into the life of this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
George Baez.
Having received instruction, we now receive you into this adult congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Fletcher Rudolph.
Having received instruction, we now receive you into the life of this congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Andon Benneke.
Having receive the proper instruction. We now receive you into this congregation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jaden Barrett.
Having received the proper instruction, we now receive you into this congregation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Michael Raymaker.
Having received the proper instruction, we now receive you into this congregation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're each getting a Bible with their names printed on it as a reminder of this day. And give them a hand. So we consider you part of the congregation now. All right? You're now young adults. You're not kiddies anymore. All right? The world will say you're too young, but ignore them. All right? We believe that you have a great personal relationship with Christ. That's our encouragement to you. And let me encourage you. Life is hard. It's really, really hard. The world, the flesh, and the devil will try to beat the snot out of you over the next many decades. But let me encourage you, if you make mistakes, if you falter, you stumble, you mess up, always remember you have a home here. You can always be part of the church, no matter what you experience. We love and appreciate you. Now go sit with your parents. And you will receive your first communion as adults. Wait for the pastor to take your picture. That's not in the Bible, by the way. What are you doing? Very cool. So they will now receive their first communion with us as adults in this congregation. Give them a hand again. Where's that? Now the scriptures tell us before taking communion, we should examine ourselves. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads in prayer as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause to examine ourselves. If we sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, doing something we shouldn't have done, or maybe failed to do something that we should have done, if we haven't loved you with our whole heart, if we haven't loved others as we love ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. And by this power of the Holy Spirit, keep us all in eternal life. And while heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I hear what you're talking about, but I've never really experienced this kind of faith in my life. You can right now. In your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And you can take your first steps of faith with us here this morning.